unusual word. Read the pasuk again quickly. It's on page 338. We are in the middle of the Malbim. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bidvaroy. Okay, middle of the Malbim. But let's read the pasuk here. It says Unisao Dodo Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud, page 338. Unisao Dodo Umisarfoy Lohitzi Atzamim and Abayis. The Dodo, the uncle. The uncle and Umisarfoy, so he had many perushim, the one that is involved in burning. He will take out Lahoitzias Atsamim and Abayas, he'll take out the bones from the Bayas, the Aman, he will say, La Sher Biyachasi Abayas Ha'oid Imoch, there's someone else here, the Omar office, and this person in the corner of the Bayas will say, No, the Omar Hos, and then he will say, Silence, do not complain against Hashem, Ki Loy Lahazkir B'Shem Hashem. And we learn one of many perushim, that's because they deserve what came upon them because they did not call out in Hashem's name. They worship idols. Instead of calling out to Hashem that Hashem should help them, they turn to idols for help, and that's why they deserve what they got. All of these people, they died, and they have been burnt, or they're being burnt, whatever this means. So we're in the middle now. We're in the middle of here, this Malbim. The Malbim is trying to tell us what it means to Misarfa. Let's start, in fact, from the beginning of the Malbim Pasuk Yud. Let's just review quickly. Pasuk Yud Uniso Dodo, page 339, in the beginning of the Malbim, Uniso Dodo, Mitzayer, Sha'av, Ubana, V'echav, Haru'uyim, Liyarsha, Kula, Mesu, Badever. The Malbim was the only one who taught us this principle, is that the reason why we mentioned earlier the word Dodo, the word Dodo in his understanding is a code word to indicate that a terrible tragedy has happened and that an entire family is gone. It's a tragedy when Rachmana Litzlan, one person dies. Tragedy when a father and a son dies. Tragedy when two brothers die. But here you have a situation where all seven relatives have died. Father, son, the grandson, and the brothers of the... So there's no one left. When there's no one left, those are the relatives upon which a person sits Shiva. A person sits Shiva for seven closest relatives. Son, father, daughter, a brother, sister, and wife. So when the person Rachmana Litzlan, if he dies and these people don't exist, there's no one that's sitting Shiva. So that means an entire family has gone. So then who now is responsible to put the house in order? An outsider. Now you're not going to let an outsider, a guy from the street, come. It's the closest relative. But this closest relative is still not considered to be an insider. It's considered to be an outsider. And that is the significance of the word Dodo. Dodo is an outsider. And we picked up on this to review last week. We discussed that's a deeper insight into the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was a product of Amram marrying his Dodo. Dodo so, and that we have only appreciated, we discussed this last week, is that in ancient times it was more common to marry an insider. You marry yourself from in the family. Now you can't go marry a sister, but maybe Enochinami, Aaron, Amram was permitted to marry a sister. Lachari was. The same way you're not allowed to marry an aunt, an aunt and a sister is the same, but marrying a sister means you're keeping the yichus in the family. So the fact that it says there that Amram, he went and he married Dodo So, that is a code word telling us that Aaron, his approach to marriage, his approach was to do chesed. Marriage is all about doing kindness. To do chesed with someone who's not part of your immediate family. And that attitude is what brought into this world the Moshion Shel Yisrael Moshe Rabbeinu. Because the word Dodo here, the Malbim is teaching us, as he cites the pasuk again, is a code word for an outsider. Even though an uncle is not an outsider, but it is an outsider. Because the uncle does not sit Shiva. Uncle is outside the immediate circle of a person's immediate family. Immediate family is only a father, mother, son, daughter, brother, sister, and a wife. Anyone outside of that orbit, that circle, is called already an outsider. Now, so here, who's coming to bury the dead? A Dodo. Why Dodo? Rashi, because there's no Yarshim. The tragedy is so great, everyone is gone. Look up in the phone book for a closest relative, a long lost relative, to come here and to clean up what has taken place.
If Ger dies, nobody is
Yes, correct. Basically, well, today, let's see, Me'ikar Hadin, sitting Shiva is a minhag. Okay, the whole union of sitting Shiva is purely a minhag. So the truth is, anyone can say Shiva. I've saw once, I never saw this before, but I saw once a son-in-law, he sat Shiva for his father-in-law. He was so close to his father-in-law, he writes Kriya by the funeral, and Imam sat Shiva. Because he looked at his as Shver. Can you imagine such an Eidim? Such an Eidim that's so loyal. I know Baruch Hashem, I know many people who are very close to their father-in-law. I know someone recently, very close, the tears, the crying, unreal. How pained the son-in-law was for his father-in-law, but he didn't say Shiva, he didn't write Kriya. I get it. It's not done. You don't do strange things. Oh, right. So do you ever see that today? I really wonder what are they doing, Chaim Berlin? You know, the dogma of like loyalty to a Rebbe is probably when I put him God. I don't know. I really should ask. He would know. Callus would know. I have to ask him what happened when I put him God. Okay, but today, did you ever hear such a thing today that Talmidim sit on the floor? Never heard of it. No, I was there when Rapam was nifta. I was in yeshiva. No one sat on the floor. Okay, adults were nifta. No one was sitting on the floor. I was very, very... What? Right, yeah, exactly. Today we live in a lightweight generation. I'll give you a mashal. I'll give you a very good mashal. Someone told this to me. I really had enough of this. Off the topic, but it's really geshmaka mashal. Someone said to me yesterday that today, you know, let's talk about the different types of groups of Hasidim. Okay, there are different types of groups of Hasidim and people that they don't get along. They mamish. They don't. They live in different. They live in different worlds. So there was what I think the Pupa Rav. Anyone know who the Pupa Rav is? I don't know who the Pupa Rav is.
No,
Salem
was
a
cousin.
Okay. Excuse me. So someone once told me that he gave a marshal that there was a person that had two son-in-laws. One son-in-law was a vegetarian. I'm just going to make it up to make the story the way I understand the story. Just to make it up. One son-in-law was a vegetarian. He refused to eat meat, whatever the situation was. The other son-in-law was allergic to milk products. So when the Aiden came to the house, these two son-in-laws and their families, they sat on separate tables. Because the one that ate fleishiks, I eat fleishiks, I can't, and the other one only ate milchiks, right? So you can't, if you're eating fleishiks and milchiks, you can't sit at the same table. So this went on for years, every time they come. There's a table for this Aiden, and there's a table for the other Aiden. One is eating milchiks, one is eating fleishiks. Vayehi hayoim, the shver can't afford to buy meat or milk. So what does he serve? He serves potatoes, and what's the parv and maybe fish? Okay, he serves potatoes and fish. So they come to the house, and this Aiden is sitting on this table, and this Aiden is sitting on this table. So he says, "You can sit together now. I'm not serving milk and meat. I'm serving potatoes. It's parv. So you can sit together on the same table. Why do you continue to still sit on separate tables?" So the Pupa Rav says, what's the Nimshal? The Nimshal is, it used to be years ago, go back 100 years ago, there were fundamental differences between, let's say, Aguda and Satma. Okay, Aguda and Satma could not sit at the same table. They do not see eye to eye on anything. But you know, today, the Aguda is not the Aguda, and Satma is not Satma. They've chilled out. Each one of them has chilled out quite a bit. So today we're serving potatoes. We're serving potatoes. Why are you still sitting on different tables? Years ago, Satma was eating meat and Aguda was eating milk. So, okay, in a chanami, you two can never sit together. There's no way you can get along with each other. But today, in the modern world, the 21st century, look around. Aguda is not Aguda. Satma is not Satma. We're serving potatoes. We're serving potatoes, so why are you still sitting? Sit together. You might as well come together and accomplish something. Power is in numbers. So, let's go over here. We have over here this idea. Let's go back to the words of... On the Shviga? No. Oh, that's how we got to do it. Sing Shiva. No, I don't know. But I do know someone's actually for... It was a strange thing. I remember people looked at it. You don't do it today. They looked at it as a dove, a dove of Muzi, yeah?
I heard that people, I'm maybe going to spot him. It's a Shiva. They're not a Shiva, but they'll stay in the same room as a Shiva for grandparents.
Well, there's a minog that when a person's grandparents die, that the grandchildren are not supposed to go to Simchas during Shiva.
Yeah,
let's say you have a boy and his best friend is getting married. His best friend is getting married that night, and his father is sitting Shiva. So he's not supposed to go to the wedding of his best friend. Why? Because not because it's a loss for him. It's not because my grandfather, how could I go to a wedding when my grandfather died 2 days? How could I? No, it's not the issue. The issue is that it's not a covered for your father. If your father is sitting shiv for his father, which is your grandfather, it's not their heritage for your father that you should be going to a wedding. There is such a minog that grandchildren do not go to simchas. They don't sit shiva for a grandparent, but do not go to. Now, the truth is, anyone can sit shiva. You talk about gerim. It's a very good point. That's why I wanted to mention gerim, is that it's very common that a ger whose parents are not Jewish, so then he's not related. A ger shen iskayer ki katon shenoy la dami. What happens but they're still close, just because the a child converts, and the father is a Christian, and father goes to church every Sunday, father is a Muslim, so, and doesn't mean you have to sever ties with your biological parents. No such thing. Just because, of course, you maintain a very healthy relationship. And ad kadei kach, that when the parent dies, the son, who is a ger, and is not technically related, is permitted to sit shiva. Is it an amazing thing? What?
Who? His mother was not Jewish, father was Jewish. He converted, and his mother died, and he went to Rabbi Amram and said, you can sit shiva.
Sit shiva.
She was a good mother.
That's right. It's mamish sit shiva. Unbelievable. It's mamish sit shiva. The whole 9 yards. Mm-hmm. They bring a sefer Torah, and he sits in the little chair, and he does rice kriya. The mother goes to church every Sunday. The mother goes as a Muslim. So what? Sitting shiva is not... There's no issur in sitting shiva. What are you doing? What are you doing averus? What are you doing exactly? And maybe wearing tefillin. Maybe normally in Oval, the first day is not allowed to wear tefillin. But so that halacha doesn't apply. He has to wear tefillin. He has to wear tefillin on the first day. But what's sitting on a low chair? What's having a meeting in your house? Saying yeah, yes, saying Kaddish. That is how people don't realize that. Is that you have to be able to be a bit sophisticated in Judaism, just because halachically it's not called your mother, not your father. Gershon Niskayer Kikoton Shinoy Ladami. That does not take away their hearts. It does not take away the fact that this person has raised you. This person has done everything for you, and you have a duty as a human being. As a human being, to show Hakara Satoiv to the person who brought you into this world and has given you everything that you have. Ad kedei kach, that's right, you sit shiva. You sit on the floor and you say Kaddish and you do everything that person's neshama should have, whatever, how we don't know what goes on there in the next world, but you do everything the same thing.
Even more, if he has brothers and sisters, which they are in mourning. So he says, my brother converted a Jew, he's not mourning.
Well, you should know, unfortunately, the other way around most of the time. Unfortunately, the people who are not Jews, they don't mourn altogether. The one that's religious is going to sit 7 days. Today, it's unheard of today by the Goyim, 7 days of mourning.
A ribbon.
Okay, but it all depends. It's such a the Wild West today. Today we don't live in. There's no. You see, by Goyim, there's no rule or reason. Oh yeah, the Catholics are very strict. Okay, could be. I think, but today.
That's what a wake is all about. They mourn before the burial. It could last 4, 3 to 5 days.
They have a Suda also. They have a Suda Havra.
You have very few religious Goyim today. Today, it's a different world today.
Many Italian widows carry a plaque for the rest of your life.
Who?
Italian widow.
Italian widow. Yeah. Rest on.
Rakefin, Rabbi Rakefin, is in the case of the ger, who the ger dies.
Yeah.
So if he was, brings two stories.
Yeah. What else? So what does he say about the, when the ger dies? What if the ger himself dies?
He was a young a guy who was becoming a ger, whether it was a, he didn't have a good conversion, whatever, and he went to he was a Talmud and one of the biggest shabbos. I think I'm not sure. Maybe Rav Waldy was his rabbi. And he, a week after he became a ger, he went and he was killed in a in a bomb or whatever.
Yeah.
And his rabbi sat shiva.
The rabbi sat shiva.
And he brought. For it.
Of course.
And everyone came and took 7 days.
7 days. And the Rebbe himself sat Shiva. The Rebbe sat for his own Talmud in the Sa'as Shiva. There's nothing technically, you're not doing any Avera, sitting Shiva. What are you doing already? You're sitting on a low chair, you're davening three times a day, you're eating, you're making all the brachas. What are you doing? It's just a matter of how you conduct yourself. There's no issue. There's no halachic issue. Therefore, we do find that people that, by goyim, a person can sit shiva for a goy, even a non-relative when they're very very close to that person, they can sit shiva technically. And like you said, your case where there is no one to sit shiva, there is such that one person should be designated to represent the one who died to sit shiva for that person. I remember in yeshiva, there was a person who died. He had no children. He had no children. Very, very sad, and he was very close. He was very devoted to the yeshiva, and the yeshiva they made sure that there was no one sitting shiva. They didn't make a person sit shiva. After he died, every day a minyan should go to the house and daven shachris in the house, not mincha ma'ariv, but every day they made like the house should be a base ovel. There was no one sitting shiva. There was no person sitting shiva. But Chazal said that the neshama of the person for 7 days, whatever this means, it comes back to his home during the 7 days of shiva. So there was a minyan. There was a minyan in his home, in his apartment. Someone said kaddish for 7 days, and they whatever. And afterwards, no relatives. There was no one. There was no uncle. There was no cousin. There was no Rachman Son. He had no children. He did not leave over. Or at least not locally, but you do see that there is such a principle. Here we have this very frightening, the only one that says this idea is the Malbim. Everyone else just totally glosses over why does it say the word doi doi, and the Malbim picks up upon this, and based upon the Pasuk that we're going to read again, is the reason why the Pasuk says the word do do, it's telling us indirectly that the tragedy here is not that just one person died, the tragedy here is an entire world has come to an end. A whole world, a person, and all of his closest relatives, there is no one left. And now the local caretaker is coming to clean up, is coming to put everything in order after the tragedy is complete. One more time, Mitzayer, in Pasuk Yud, on page 339, we are describing She'av Ubanav Ve'echav Ve'haruim L'yarsho, a father, children, a brother, that was Roy to Yarshin, Kulam Mesu Badever, everyone died. V'lo yishoer koroiv sheyitapel ba'meisim l'karvam. There's no one left that will busy himself with the dead l'karvam to bury them, l'karvam to bury them, v'sheyirash esabayis hanishar, and to inherit all the assets, v'yes hanachasim rak, who's left? Dodo shel bal habayis. Only one that's left is no real yoresh. The only one neg is the default, is the way we trigger, we enter into a new world of the closest relative. K'moisha kasov, here is the source for this entire idea. Vim ein loy achim, if there are no brothers, there's no one left to yarshin, rachmana l'tzlan, a person who dies, then the pasuk goes on to say, okay, let's now trigger emergency clause number 13. Emergency clause goes into effect. Unisaten es nachalaso lacheaviv. The Yerusha goes to the uncle. Vehu yisa oso lekvura. He will go and bury him. Vehu ye gamkein misarfo. He will also be the misarfo. What is the misarfo? So this we had such a summary. We discussed it for too much already discussing this. Shehu yisraif mentioned, he's the only one that says this explicitly. Shehu yisraif ho atzamais. He will cremate him. Okay, can you imagine? He will be the one that will do cremation. Hi, you talking? My hi. What's going on over here? Shocking, right? No one said this. All the mafarshim that we learned. So many perushim. Shvil shohu yisroi flat samais. We do find a precedent for cremation. It says by the children of Shaul. Vayichu as no, Shaul himself. Shaul himself. Vayichu as givya Shaul. Vayisrifu oisam. And what does it mean there? So right away he wants to lighten the translation. Does not mean literally. The pasuk says there's a mitzvah de'oraisa of kavura ki kavur tik berenu. It is kavura upera sharadak chanitos ho'atzamos babes bibesamim hasarfim oisam umiyabsham. There is some type of fragrances. Embalming. We find by Yaakov Avinu, Uvifrat be'es hamagefa. Now here he goes. Now he adds something new, especially when there's a magefa. I guess then it's danger. There's disease, and therefore the bones. It's a sakana for society. Uvifrat be'es hamagefa. Shoyvchem hasid al ho'atzamot kadesh sheyisorfu v'lo yispashet mehem adereh. So he in the but this is in the parentheses, by the way. So this is not so partial here. Who's saying this? Oh, we did the Radak. We did the Radak alluded to it. We did a the Radak did allude to this. It's look at the Radak. We did learn this in the Radak. Where was the Radak? He did allude to it.
They burned it with wine.
Maybe not. Okay, I thought we had it in the Radak. Maybe we had it somewhere else. We did have it somewhere alluded to this idea that that there's danger. There is disease. The atam sheyisa oisa yekidei. The reason why they're going to carry him out lohitzim in atzam in abayis bashehu ayorish as abayis yirtzel letaroi minu atzamas. Now the closest relative is going to remove the bones so he can move in. He's going to take over the house. V'yamal asher biyakase abayis ha'oid imach mitzayer sheim echad min mishor se abayis shenisha b'chayim yeshu b'chase abayis v'yirtzel lovei b'sech abayis in nem agave in nem ma'apalis. Let's say it's going to be one of the servants that was once upon a time part of this home, and he does not want to come back into the house because he's afraid of the disease, or he's afraid of ill collapse. The hador ha'oisik b'gvur yishal oisah ha'oid imcha. They will ask him, well, you used to live here. Tell us all the secrets. Tell us all of the things we need to know about the bayis. Ritzon leimar. Im nishar oid ish imoy mibnei habayis bein oyach shenimletu imoy min hamagefa. Is there anyone else? They're going to ask one of the Masharsim. You lived here many years. You don't want to come back, but at least tell us. Tell us the situation. Tell us what we need to know. Maybe there are more relatives. And he will respond, office. There's nothing left. The whole mishpach is gone. Ki kol b'nei habayis mesu. V'yomar hos. Ba'asher hoya haminig lahazgir shem Hashem alamesim im loymar tzidu kadin ulevarech dayan ho'emes v'gam shekifi hadin tzarech levarech shechayonu gam kein kumoy she'amru amru loymes aviv v'hu yorsha mevarech shtayim varech dayan ho'emes v'shechayonu. Okay, it's one of the most strangest halachas which people do not do today, you should know. This halacha is not done today. What? That's true. It's same thing, but there's a halacha that it says in the Farish and Chazal that if a person hears that his father died, his relative died, he is supposed to make on the spot two brachas. Dayan ho'emes and shechianu.
Only if it's a big Yerusha.
Big? Why big? Even $1. Why who doesn't say anywhere? It doesn't say anywhere it has to be a big Yerusha. It doesn't say anywhere there's a shear to a Yerusha. Even 25 cents. Scrape under the carpet, and you'll find a nickel.
Inherit debt.
What? Inherit debt. Ooh, inherit debt. Oh, good kasha. So it says a person is supposed to make a shechion. So this is a monkey wrench. A monkey wrench in our understanding of the bircha shechion. It is commonly understood that the bircha shechionu is a brach of simcha. I'll prove it to you. There's a halach in Shulchan Aruch that an ovel should not be the one who lanes the Megillah on Purim. Why not? Because the one who lanes the Megillah has to make a bracha shechianu bifnei am v'edah in public. If you lay it in private, you also have to make a shechianu. When you lay it in public, shechianu v'kimanu v'gyanu l'azman hazeh, And to make the birchas shachyanu, you must be besimcha. It's not possible. It's not correct that a person who is in aveilus toch yud beis chodesh should be able to make the bracha shehechyanu on behalf of the tzibur. So we're very meikel. No, this halacha is also not practiced too much. We're very, very meikel. If this is the baal kriya kavua, he can be meikel. Those that want to be machnu, what they do is that someone else makes the shechiyanu. The baal kriya makes the bracha al mikra megillah and she'asa nisim, and then someone else, the gabai, makes the bracha out loud of shechiyanu.
He's mesameich during the mitzvah. You know, is that the simcha? The mitzvah is what's bringing on the simcha.
It's true, the simcha, the mitzvah is a simcha, but you're still a human being, and the human being has pain. He's within a year of the loss of a parent or one of his seven relatives. How can he, well, that's really, Yubishon is only for a parent. How can he be with simcha? How can he say, who are you fooling? How can you make the bracha? You're a human being. A human being is mitzvah. Of course, you make the bracha the best that you can. Today we don't really appreciate it because today everything is lip service anyway, right? Today we live in a world, unfortunately, of lip service. But if a person takes these things very seriously, how could you make the bracha shechiyanu v'kimanu v'vyanu l'zman hazeh? You're a robot. You lost a parent. You don't. You're not shell shocked.
In the 9 days.
Yeah.
You don't make a shechiyanu. Right?
Correct. Avelus Yeshana. You have a bris milah, you have a this, you have different simachos. That's the Chazal discussed that the Avelus for the Beis Hamikdash is Avelus Yeshana. It's old news. It's old news. Old news, you can make the Shechianu. Okay, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed almost 2,000 years ago. So therefore, even though we mourn, it's different. It's different. I'll tell you, one, you remind me of such a good story. Could I today to come just for this story? Someone told me this story on Shabbos. Shabbos. I love this story. I don't know who the Rebbe though is. This happens to have happened about 50 years ago, it seems. There was a very big Rebbe. I don't know who he was. I thought maybe it was the Satmar Rebbe, but it wasn't. Maybe it was. Who knows? I don't know who it was. One of the big Rebbes. Who do they have a big Rebbe? Who do they have? I don't know who it was. And there was a Jew, and a Jew, he was a contractor, whatever he did, different work, and he had a painter. And the family of this Rebbe asked him, somehow they got a hold of him, and they wanted him to come paint the Rebbe's house. So this person, he was a chassid of the Rebbe, and he has this worker, whoever it was, a chves, an Italian, who knows, whatever it was, a real guy. And he told him, you know, we got a big job, we're going to the grand rabbi. The grand rabbi, we have a contract to paint his house. And he warned him for a week, do you know who we're going to? You gotta be on your best behavior. You know, you gotta go to the mikvah before you go to the grand rabbi. And the painter, this guy, a real guy, was all shaken up, was really afraid, who knows where we're going. Coming the first day, he's really, really scared. And the Rebbe was already very, very old. He was in a wheelchair. I think he said who the Rebbe was. I just don't remember. Oh? I don't know who it was. And he was already in a wheelchair. He was in a wheelchair. He was very old. And he sees this guy. And he knows he's there to paint the house. And he calls him over. And he says to him, did you eat breakfast yet? Did you eat breakfast? So he said, no. Because he didn't eat breakfast. Come, sit down. And the Rebbe himself serves him breakfast. And he can't go work unless you have to be b'koichai. And the Rebbe knew all the shtick that goes on behind the scenes. He knew, he saw this guy, they did a job on him already. He saw what was going on. So he says to this guy, listen, I don't know what they told you over here, these people over here, but let me tell you something. We used to have a temple. Once upon a time, we had a temple. We had a temple, everything was perfect. Everything was just right. Everything was mitsuyan. Ever since the temple was destroyed, nothing matters. When you do the work here, don't worry. You just paint, do the best you can. If it's not so perfect, if you make a mistake, it gets a little sloppy, some paint spills, some this happens. Don't worry, who cares? Don't listen, don't be intimidated by the people who told you it has to be perfect. Do the best you can, and I'm happy. Nothing matters since we lost our temple. Okay, and he did the work. He was very happy. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience. Now, you know, in the Hasidic world, if you paint the house for the Rebbe, you know what that means. Your stocks go up. If he painted the Rebbe, the guy painted the Rebbe, this Italian painted the Rebbe's house, all of a sudden everyone wants him to paint their house. So all of a sudden they got this contracted with the worker, tons of, make sure you bring him. I only want the one who worked for the Rebbe. He's the one who paints. So he got a lot of jobs. So one day, not that long after, he was working, he comes to these, you know, all the Hasidim working, and one of the Hasidim sits him down and he says to him, listen here, Charlie, I'm going to pay you extra money. I want it perfect. I everything must be bidiyuk. No mistakes. I'm going to pay you extra money, but you better do a perfect job. So Charlie, the Italian, he puts his hand around the chosid and he says, listen, Abshmerel, let me tell you something, Abshmerel. You once upon a time had a temple. And when you had a temple, everything by you was perfect. There were no mistakes. But Shmerel, you don't have a temple anymore. It doesn't matter if it's perfect, if it's not perfect. Turn the tables on him. He gave him Musa. The Rebbe trained Charlie very well. Now going back to our discussion over here, he says over here, this V'omar Hos. Oh, so bringing back to a very, very interesting halacha, a person is supposed to say Shechianu, Dayanu, Emes, and Shechianu. So what do we see from that halacha? That Shechianu is said besimcha. If it's ad kidei kach, then me ikur hadin, if you're laying the Megillah, you can't lay the Megillah. Because I can't say Shechianu in front of a tzibur who is besimcha, and I'm not besimcha. So then if that's true, how could it possibly be that at a levaya, as soon as the person rises kriya and he says dayan ho'emes, he should also say shechiyanu v'kimanu v'giyanu lazman hazeh. Doesn't make one bit of sense, right? How could it possibly be? So obviously we're missing something. And the truth is, you should know the truth is the minhag today is not to make the bracha. Okay, what? Even though it's beferish shulchan aruch, it's mamish beferish and shulchan aruch, and the minhag ha'olam is brought down. Look in all the art school books and all the footnotes. The minhag ha'olam is not to make the bracha shechianu, not to make ratoiv ha'meitiv. Well, how could it be? But it says in Shulchan Aruch. Isn't that bizarre? You know, there are a lot of things that it says in Shulchan we don't do. How could that be? How could it be an Orthodox Jew does not follow what it says in the book, in the big books? It's a good kasha. Sometimes you have children, they get very, very serious in their learning. I was tutoring someone. He became like, he really steiked. He's like 14, 15 years old, and he became very religious. We know this growth spout in religion, and everything halacha you got to do. And I don't remember what it was. It was a certain thing, and he says to me, how come no one does it? No one does this. I said, I don't know. The minute, you have to see what the minute is. Puk chazi ma amadva. Go out and see what people do. And he kept on pressing me like a 14-year-old kid. He was driving me crazy. But it says in Shulchan Aruch. Are we Orthodox Jews or are we not Orthodox Jews? It says in Shulchan Aruch, this is what you must do. How could it be? How could it be? We don't do this. People just ignore what it says in Shulchan Aruch. I don't have an answer for him. I says, even though it says it in Shulchan Aruch, you have to know this. There's another element to Yadus, to religion, to Orthodox practice, and that is whatever is the common minhag.
But isn't Shulchan Aruch was a majority opinion? There were minority opinions.
Yes, you're right. You're asking the same question. The Shulchan Aruch was meant to be. The Shulchan Aruch was meant to be. This is the bottom line, and this is it. No ands, if, or buts. This is what you got to do. Whatever you don't have to do, we left out already for you. We already cut out all the stuff you don't have to do. We already came down with what you have to do. And yet it's very, very interesting that there are many examples in Shulchan Aruch that things are not done. They're just not done. And one example is this. Is this halacha that Shechianu, the best that I remember, my father was a rabbi, and my father, you know, this is one of them in Rabbanus, this is one of the most common things, and you have to know inside out, is Avelus. It's the most common, the most base today, to be rough today, you know, you don't have to know about how to kasher a chicken, because you'll never see a chicken. Okay, leave that to empire. Leave that to those people. Today, what does the rabbi have to know? He has to know Avelis. You have to know Avelis inside out. You have to know... You have to really know the hanhogos of the Beis HaKnesses. You have to know how to run a shul, the all of the things that go on with Nogev, Tzila. What?
Life cycle events,
right? There are certain things, Hilcha Shabbos, you have to know inside out, whatever it is. But so this thing in Avelos, I'm telling you, it's just not done. It's not, it says in Shulchan Aruch, a person should say a Shechayanu on a Yerusha, no matter what the Yerusha is. Why don't we do it? I don't know.
What did your father say about
it? My father didn't innovate. My father just followed whatever the common minig is. The common minig is, it's brought down even in the Svarim, in all the big major league poiskim. That it's not done. We do not say Shechayanu. Why not? I don't know why not. The kasha is an obvious kasha. It appears that to say a birchas shechayanu requires simcha, and a person is not besimcha when he's making a baruch of dayan ho'emes. So what are you going to answer then? That there are two different types of shechayanu. There's a shechayanu of simcha, and then there's another shechayanu which is not simcha. It's just a life cycle event. A person was zoicha, think about it, that he outlived his father. That's pretty good. Because if it would have been the other way around, it would have been a much greater tragedy. Kachi darkoi shel oilam, a person has to die. That's Rabbi Yevsky, practicing rough. Do people today make the bracha shechianu out of levaya for the Yerusha?
No.
Do they ever make the shechianu?
I don't know privately if some of the people do. But in my shul, nobody is going to be doing it.
No one's going to be doing it. It's unheard of. It's not heard of even privately.
No Yerusha.
Even it's
we
not
were
done.
Speaking about it at the table Friday night, that could be something like that. My wife was looking at me like I was crazy.
You see?
I said, yeah, listen.
But it's not done. The minig olam is not to do it. Why? Because obviously we don't know how to deal. The question is such a great question. We don't know how to deal with it. You want to give the simple answer is that Shechianu is a life cycle event. Shechianu, what does it mean, the words? It doesn't say the word simcha in the bracha, that Hashem has given us life. Shechianu, vikimanu, vikiyanu. We're alive. Interesting. Here, at the time of death, it's a recognition that a previous generation has died, and we're still alive. In an essence, that's a bracha. Because Rachmana Litzlan, the other way around, if it would have been Yerusha is going down, if it would have been the other way around, where a child, Rachmana Litzlan, dies, and the father's alive, that's a curse. So, but yet, even though you can twist and turn and give an answer, sometimes all of the answers are not as good as the question. We associate in our minds Shechianu with Simcha. It's not a Zman Simcha. The question is so great. The Minhag HaOlam is Shev Va'al Tase, not to make this Bracha Shechianu. So here we just quote Nikah Halacha. He says, Hos, quiet. Ki loy lahaskir b'shem Hashem. So what is the Malam saying? A novel pshat. That over here, what is a person supposed to at this point in time? He's supposed to say two brachas. He's supposed to brach shtayim, shulchan aruch, dayan ho'emes, v'shechianu, v'yachashu yoyresh es habayis, yirtzil lahaskir shem Hashem. U'lechen yitzave oisei hamishoreis, sheyahas v'yishtkoik, ki loy lahaskir b'shem Hashem, ritzon loymar, she'ein ato ho'es lazeh, and now we go into the next pasuk. So you know something, reading this right now, maybe that's the reason. Maybe this is the reason why the minig olam is not to make the shechianu. Maybe that's talking about what we're going to see in the next pasuk. It's because over here it's going on to say that it's not a death that is natural. It's not a death that's natural, it's a curse. Even though you're the Yoresh, and the Yoresh Maker Adin should make these two brachas, but that's only when a person dies in normal times. When a person is dying because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is angry that we have not fulfilled his Ratzon, and people are dying prematurely, it's not a Zman of Simcha, it's not a Zman where you can say Shechianu and not even to say Dayan or Emes. So I'm thinking out loud now, maybe this taka, we start before we ask the kasha, so there are many things in Shulchan we don't do. And no one knows the reason. No one knows why. It's a mystery. Mm-hmm. Maybe according to the Malbim, it's not such a mystery because it says you're hos. Even though you're supposed to make the bracha shechi anu, and you're supposed to make the haskim, b'shem Hashem, you're supposed to make these two brachas, not in this situation. Hos, quiet. Kiloi lahaskim.
B'shem Hashem, yeah? In a way, yes.
Sometimes they're suffering so much, right? And it's a very big simcha, but I guess in Golos, when we're living in times of Golos, every death is not the way it would have been had it been in times of Geula. The whole mitzvah of dying in Golos is in and of itself a tzara. Now, even if it's what appears to be a peaceful death, he's 120 years old, he's surrounded by his family, if you gotta go, couldn't be a better way to go, right? You can't. But yet, Golos is Golos.
I'm trying to recall, but it's not a total recall. First funerals after 48, let's say, people, when someone died, they said, Baruch Hashem, he got a kvura.
Neret Yisrael. He got Kavura. He was Zoichet to Kavura. You appreciate. That's right.
So they almost said a Shechiyanu.
Right, it's true.
Thank God that he died and he had
Kavura. I was a little boy, and when they took us in Yeshiva to the Levi of the Belushev Rebbe. I remember that very close. I was a little boy, whatever they wanted to take us to the Levi of the Gadol, who's the Belushev Rebbe. They explained to us. By Levaya, I mean, I don't know what was going on. There was nothing going on there. They were just, you know what it's like. And all of the very, very end, they started saying on the microphone, Mazel Tov! Mazel Tov! Mazel Tov! And I'm a little kid. What? Mazel Tov? What? What is going on over here? So they explained to us is that the minhag by some Hasidim, not all, is at the Levaya, they are mekabel upon themselves the new Rebbe, whoever the new Rebbe is meant to be. Assuming there's no World War III breaking out.
No, there was, because the Rebbetzin was still going strong.
Whoever it is, that's the minhag. So it's interesting. There's a minhag. There is such a thing by a Levaya. How can you say Mazel Tov by a Levaya? The Nes Mutal Lefanav. Okay, obviously, there's a lot more that.
They didn't. I think by the Hesper, someone would always come and say, Baruch Hashem, he was
there to Kabul. After 48. That's right, you can't take it for granted. Look what happened not so long ago, 9/11. Okay, only what was it, 17 years ago? 9/11, the people, Mamish, vaporized. Mamish, nothing left. Vaporized. Not even ash. Not even talking about ash. Nothing. They found nothing from them. So you take for granted. What does it mean to be zeicher for kever Yisrael? It's not a davar poshut. Einochinami. Here it's a tragic. It's a tragedy. Ki loy lahaski. It's a very powerful. It's a very powerful malbum. No one says anything near what the malbum says. Not from beginning to end. All the farshim, they dance around this pasuk. Everyone is dancing around the pasuk. Dancing on the pasta, giving all different interpretations. The Malbim says it. He says it the way it is. It says over here, the doidoi. You know what it means, doidoi? Everyone is dead. There's no one's left. You know what the doidoi is going to do? Umisarfo pshutoi kimashmo. Take the bones and burn them. You know why? They're full of disease. Get the bones out of here. And then when it comes, he says, is there anyone, any other survivors? Office. The Omar Hoss, don't make the bracha, die in OMS. Don't make the bracha, Shechiyanu. It's not kedai. Hashem has come down with a hard hand upon us. Hashem is not interested in our brachas. No one goes anywhere near the Malbim's pshat and this. Everyone is dancing around and saying this and this and this and this to stay away from the horror of what the Malbim, how he learns the simple translation of the pasuk. Yeah.
And the Strefa, I know they used to burn the people during the plague, but I think that the other thing that they used to do instead was to use lime.
Right, that's what it says. Yeah. Yeah, the Malbim is the favorite. It doesn't mean mamish burning. Lime is indirect. I want to talk about it later on. Talk about it later on in our third part of the shiur about snow on Shabbos, putting salt on snow on Shabbos, so it's indirect. I'm not melting. We'll talk about it later on. Putting lime, when you take bones and you put them into a fire, you are directly destroying the bones. And that's not proper because the Torah says, ki kavar tek bered, it has to be buried. But by putting lime, I'm not doing anything. It's indirect. It's a grama. So grama is always better than doing it mamish biyodayim. Yeah. It has to be done because pikuach nefesh.
If you have a choice, you're living in Mongolia, and there is no Jewish cemetery. Is it better to burn or to bury?
Bury, for sure. For sure. For sure, bury. For sure.
So
what's the Chavim
mean?
It's better to be buried with the Goyim than to be burned. No doubt about it. 100%. Where does it say in the Torah that you have to be buried with Jews? It doesn't say anywhere. It says, ki kavar tik berenda, you can be buried with Goyim also. Where does it say? Of course, we don't want to do that for many reasons.
Well, I guess you would infer it in Sanhedrin, where you have different burial places.
Of course. They have very strict rules in some cemeteries. They go crazy over them. They got even a man and a woman. Maybe the Harval Yava to put a man next to a woman, a person, to bury a person next to a person who's a Sufik. We don't know. Was he Shemesh Shabbos? Was he not Shemesh Shabbos? Maybe the person is even a bigger tzaddik than the one you want to bury now. You, who's to judge?
Right.
You know what's going on over there. We don't know who he was. He might not have been a Shem Shabbos, so therefore we can't bury this person next to him. You know, so today we all worked up in all these chumras and mishigasim. Who says he can't bury a Jew next to a guy? Where does it say that? Doesn't say it anywhere, yeah.
I know somebody, a whole story that they were supposed to be cremated. And instead they were buried in a Goyish cemetery.
Of course, it's much, much better. I also find that, you know, it's very, very disturbing is that the makor for burial is not said by a tzaddik. It's said by a person who is killed with Misas Bezdin. Can you imagine the person in Avera to be killed by Misas Bezdin means you're warned. Your person is about, and they say to him, it says, it's almost impossible, you should know, to be killed with Misas Bezdin. You have to be warned. Two witnesses have to watch it, because that looks like a wedding. Right? Two witnesses under the chuppah. Is the ring a shavah pruta? You see the ring? Pick up the veil. Is this the kalas, the chasan? Do you own the ring? Everything, you know, your imamish, everything has to be bidyuk. Everything has to be perfect. And now, harayat. And then the guy comes to the rabbi. Rabbi, I may have blinked. When he put the ring on, am I still a kosher witness? Don't blink. You know, we go in such... That's how it is in order for a person to chabichayev misas bezdin. And it's only by misas bezdin does the person is a rasha. Because he's told, don't do this avera. If you do this avera, you're going to be chayev misa. Because it says in the pasuk, this pasuk. Do you understand? Maybe we should go to Koilo for 3 years to first understand all the pratim of the mitzvah to make sure you fully comprehend what you're about to do. And finally, after learning for 3 years, they give him smicha. He fully understands what it says in the pasuk. He fully understands the prohibition. And now he goes to do the avera. And we have the witnesses. And we make sure they're not a karv apostle. And that tzaddik and the witnesses, they themselves, the witnesses, have not done anything which could, they should be suspect of doing the avera. And now he does the avera. Mamisha Rasha Marusha. And he now is executed by Bezdin. And now when he is executed, it says in the Pasuk, Kikovar Tikbarenu. So from him we learn that every other person in the whole world should be buried. Isn't it interesting? With the Makar, it doesn't come from the average person. It comes from a case of Misas Bezdin. But that's the halacha. That is the halacha. And as we mentioned, people go to great lengths to observe this very chashuv inyan of Kever Yisrael.
There is no
proof. Oh, that's exactly what I'm trying. That's exactly, obviously, that's not correct because that's not the halacha. But in the world of drush, it's always important to see where is the source. There's the world of machshava, and there's the world of halacha. In the world of halacha, there's nothing to discuss. It does not make a difference. Does not make one bit of that's the bottom line. But yet, when you want to analyze the hashkafa behind what is kavura all about, we don't know what it's about. We have no clue. This is really all kabbalistic in yonim. We have no understanding of what this is all about. And if the Torah reveals this principle to us only in a backdrop, against the backdrop of a rasha who was warned, and knows exactly what he's doing, and goes ahead and does an Avera, and then is killed by Beis Din. And we don't know, you know, there are all different types of people. Some people, before they're killed by Beis Din, they confess. Some don't confess. And then the Torah says he should be buried. So, and there we learn for everyone else. That opens up a whole world of machshava. What exactly is this all about? Why did the Torah reveal this mitzvah by a Rasha and not by a tzaddik? Okay, let's go further. So this is the Perush of the Malbim. It's a very, really, really, really fascinating. Now let's go and move along to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ki, hinei Hashem mitzvah v'ikah. Hashem has given the command v'ikah habayis hagodol. Hashem has smitten the bayis hagodol risisim. Risisim means into the little pieces. You know, one of the horrors of 9/11 in my mind, which always just percolates in my mind, is they once interviewed one of the people who was working in the landfill, and he said, I remember they interviewed him. He said, we didn't find even one desk, one chair, one computer, nothing. What happened to all of the desks? What happened to all the chairs? What happened to all the computer, the keyboards? Nothing. Everything was pulverized to smithereens. It's super bizarre. It's super bizarre. The Chorban of 9/11, it just Mavel Orion. How could it be? You don't have furniture. What happened to all of the... Everything turned into mamish, just dust, into teeny little pieces of plastic and metal. It is super bizarre. That's what it says here. It says, Mamish Nisvart, Risisim. Shreds. The Chorban will be so massive, you won't have any zecher of what once was. Now you would think, let's say they wouldn't clean up the grounds, they'll just leave it there. And someone come back, and in 500 years, they'll go through the rubble. Oh, look at this, a chair. What is a computer? We don't have computers, we have smartphones now. What is a computer? What's a chair? What's a desk? They won't find a chair. They won't find the desk. They'll find no zecher, because it's going to be in what's called risisim, into teeny little shreds. It's a shocking, frightening pasuk. Risisim, the abayis hakotoin bikiim, and the small bayis will be split. Okay, this is, I think, a poetic... It's just a poetic repetition, okay? Poetic repetition of bikiyim means also just another word which means pretty much the same thing. In the Ritzul Sion, it says risisim is inyan ritzitza, which means to be crushed, like it says in the pasuk ki mo'uch v'chosus, and the tar game is v'dimris. Okay, the Mitzudos David appears to learn that the word risisim is an Aramaic word. It's not a Hebrew word. It is the translation of the word kosus. Kosus is in Hebrew, which means to be crushed to smithereens, into little teeny pieces. And the Targum there, Unkelus, translates it vidim ris, which is the shorish of the word ris, reish samach, risisim. Now notice the Mitzudos Tzion does not even want to tell us the translation of the word Bikiim, but it means the same thing. Baka means a split. It's been cracked. Cracked, crack, and in this context it means cracked into little pieces. Okay, let's see another pasuk. Another pasuk. Hayirutsun basela susim im yacharosh babikorim. Okay, really we should do this whole pasuk because it's a little bit complex for me to translate this. Let's do it. We'll do it in the Mitzudos David in one moment. Let's read the words and we'll do it together. Hayirutzun basela susim im yacharosh babikorim ki hafachtem l'rosh mishpat ufritz dakal lilana. Let's read everything together in the Mitzudos David. Let's go back first to the first pasuk Yud Aleph. Yud Aleph in the Mitzudos David, back on page 338. V'hin hika. The enemy is speaking, and the enemy is Habayis Hagodol al Malchus Ephraim Yoimar Shigidoila mi Malchus Yehuda ki Bohem Yesh Aseres Hashvatim. So the pasuk is according to the Mitzvot. This is not referring to the Beis Hamikdash. This is referring to the Bayis. Refers to the Malchus. The Bayis is nothing more than a metaphor for a nation. The nation here is called the Bayis, and what's Godol is the Aseres HaShvatim. They are called Godol relative to the Malchus of Yehuda because they have 10 Shvatim. The next page, Pasuk 340, Risisim, Libikiois, Mirubois, into little teeny pieces. Usichufois.
Risisim Laila, in English there it says the rains of the night.
The rains, there it means rain. It means rains. It is not. So also, what is rain? Rain means also little drops.
Right.
Drops, it's also little pieces. Little mortar, little raindrops. Multiple raindrops. Let's look a little bit further. Risisim, libikiois, mirubois, usichufois, continuous. She'ein little saknam, usichufois means that, I guess, that one next to the other. It's been destroyed and shattered into so many little pieces, there is no potential for it to be repaired. Ki imli achar zman rav. Now he does go on to say, now the Mitzudo Stav is saying, since this refers here to, it's a metaphor for the Aseres HaShvatim, to say such a thing basically means it cannot be repaired, they will never return, which indeed is the opinion of one Tana in the Gemara. The Aseres HaShvatim will never return. How could you say that? Do we really want to paskin l'chumra that the Aseres HaShvatim will never return? So he adds in these words, which means, return lemar. Okay, it's not going to return kim li'achar zman rav. They'll only return later on. Ritzoyin lema shehem lo yeshuva li'artzam ad hagu'ula ho'asida. He's trying to lighten the severity of the pasuk. It does not mean they will not be repaired forever. There will come a time when they will be repaired. The Abayis HaKotoyin, who is that? The Abayis HaKotoyin is Malchus Yehuda Yoimar, Shiketanu Malchus Ephraim, Bikiyim, Libekoyim Yechidim, broken pieces, She'efsha L'sakna Maher, Ritzon Eloi Ma'ashem Yeshuvu L'Yartza B'zman Ba'yashem. So he learns something very beautiful. And he is saying that there's a difference between the word Risisim and the word Bikiyim. Risisim means teeny little pieces. When something is shattered into such small pieces, it is impossible for it to be repaired. Bikiyim means it is shattered into big pieces. When something is broken into big pieces, they can be glued together and it can be repaired. Therefore, the word Risisim is a metaphor for the Malchus of Yisrael, and the word Bikim is a metaphor for the Malchus of Yehuda. Yehuda indeed was repaired. Yehuda, when they went into Golus, they came back 70 years later to build the Bayis Sheni. But the Malchus of Yisrael that went into Golus, the Aseres HaShvatim, they did not yet come back. So that is Rashi, the Mitzudos' metaphor, referring to the two Malchios of Klal Yisrael. One is compared to a Risisim, and one is compared to Bikiyim. Next Mitzudos, next part with hard Pasuk Yudbeis, Hayirutzun, V'chi Efshar L'susim L'rutz B'mkoyim Hasela. Now here, it's a play on the words. Before it said, this poetry, it said before Risisim. The word susim obviously is phonetically similar to the word risisim. So Amos is playing, he's got a little poetry, he's playing with the phonetic sound of this word. He's asking a question, can a horse run on a rock? It's not, you all know, in the Meadowlands, you all know from OTV, that horses, the terrain upon which a horse runs is critical for its success. And you just can imagine how many millions of dollars they put into the racetrack that the earth should be just right. You'll see in the pictures, you see as they gallop, you see they're kicking up dirt, right? You all see how the dirt they kick up when they run. Can you imagine if they paved the Meadowlands with asphalt? Can you imagine what would happen? It would not go good. What? The baseball. You know how much money goes into that? How much money goes into that? Remember who won the World Series many years ago? The Yankees. Well, the police could not control the crowd. The whole crowd jumped into the field. Remember that? What was it? The Yankees and the Mets. The Yankees. They all came in, and everyone came home on the subway. On the subway, everyone holding a shtick offer. Everyone on the subway, I have some earth from this the pitcher's mound. They show the pride and joy. Another guy, I only got earth from first base. This guy got from the outfield. and they had him in the news the next day. Do you know how much damage fans have caused Yankee Stadium? And since then, they had the neck. That was the championship in the World Series. They had the whole thing, police. The whole thing, with horses also. With horses, barricaded. They should not jump into the field and take the valuable earth. Because it's very, very expensive, the turf. So here as well, the horses need special earth, special terrain. Therefore, can a horse gallop upon rock? If they do, yahalmu v'yishmeru ikvoysam. Yahalmu means they'll trip and they'll break their ankles. Okay, it's going to cause them to strain. V'chein imevshar shiachresh adam v'sela imhabekonim. Can a person plow on rock? Of course not. You have to have a certain terrain, earth, in order to succeed in plowing with the oxen. You're going to try to plow on rock, you're going to kill, you're going to destroy your equipment. What's the meaning over here? Can you change what is natural? If you try to change what is acceptable, you're going to just suffer loss. Now comes the Musar. What is he trying to say? You're guilty. You're trying to go against the grain. You're trying to change the world order. You have taken Torah that is sweet. It is pleasant. And you've transformed it into bitterness. To follow the mitzvahs in your eyes is bitter, Rachmana Litzlan. Ritzoin Lomar, Lekachtem Tumuraso, Choy Kavoidas Koychav, you've taken Torah that is sweet, and if you exchange it for Avodah Zarah, Upritzdaka, Ritzoin Lomar, Mitzvahs HaTorah Hafachtem Lekachas Tumurasam Es Halana, the mitzvahs of Torah which is sweet, which produces fruit, you have exchanged it for Lana, wormwood, bitter herbs, Hu Avoidas HaPesel. Crafting idols, because you have been evil, you are corrupt, you have taken what is pleasant and you have exchanged what is bitter. That is why you will suffer the consequences. Let's read the pasuk. We'll conclude. Pasuk is basically going to the mitzvah means hayirutzun basela susim. Can a horse gallop upon? Can a horse gallop upon rock land? Im yacharosh babi korim, can a person plow with oxen on rock? Of course not. Who do you think you're going to fool? You're just going to damage yourself. This is what you, Klal Yisrael, have done to yourself. Ki hafachtem l'rosh mishpat. You have transformed what used to be mishpat to rosh. Rosh means bitterness. Rosh here is the name of an herb. Okay, rosh v'lano. Roish lana mine asavim morim the mitzvahs. It's a type of bitter herb. Leroish mishpat ufrit tzedaka lana. You have transformed the fruit of righteousness to bitter herbs, and therefore that is why you're going to receive punishment. Okay, we'll stop here. Take a short break.